Now we're going to look at a vast subject. It's the subject of the believer's body. No, I can't find the... I can't go through every aspect. I believe, if my memory serves me right, there are 12 aspects of the believer's body. Now all I want to do is to open 2 or 3, maybe 4 scriptures, and when it's 9:30, I shall stop. All right? Now we're going to start with Romans 6, verse 6, and we just touch on this, because already I've mentioned this, and I don't want to go over it again. The Christian's body. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is or was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that means rendered unemployed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now just let's explain the verse before we talk about the body of sin. He wants us to know that the old man was crucified with him. Now what is the old man? The old man can be translated, and perhaps this is more correct, your old self. And your old self simply means the person that you were before you were converted. And that kind of person has been crucified. That means all that you were in Adam, your flesh, which is the source of all your sinning life, your sins were judged at the cross. And because you were judged at the cross, in God's sight, through the incoming of the Holy Spirit, you are now a new man. So what he is basically saying is this: the man that you were in Adam, you are no longer. Therefore, he says, the body of sin. Now, when you were in Adam, before you were saved, you had a wonderful body that was comprised of 3 parts. First of all, it was the physical part that we call body. Then there is the soulish part that, of course, we call soul. That's the real you. Then there is the spirit, where a person once had communication with God. Now, the body makes you world conscious. The soul makes you self-conscious. The spirit makes you God-conscious. But in an unconverted person, he has soul, he has body, but his spirit is there, but dead. And therefore he's unaware of God. Now, the body of sin is a body where sin is expressed constantly through you. So that your flesh, which is the source of all sin, the root of all sin, the throne room of all sin, is constantly being expressed through the body. And that is why it is called the body of sin. Now the word destroy there is far too harsh, because if we could destroy the body of sin, then we could all claim sinless perfection, and none of us can. If someone claims to be perfect, speak to his wife if he's married, and you will soon find the truth. No, it's not perfection that we're after, but it's Christ-likeness that we're after, which is an entirely different thing. So you can see that the body of sin might be destroyed. The word is a little harsh, destroyed, because it means annihilated. But we have rendered it unemployed. That means, when you were in Adam, you had a body, and that body expressed sin. Now you've got the same body with the temple of the Holy Spirit in it, and it's not to express sin, but it's to express the Lord Jesus. Let's go on. Henceforth, we should not serve sin. Now the word serve there comes from the Greek doulos, and that means to serve it like a slave. It's not talking about an occasional sin. But no believer should be under the servitude of sin, under its domination, under its power. Therefore, the operative word there is to serve. So you can see the body of sin. Now let's turn to what I want to major on this morning, and that's another type of body. 1 Corinthians 6. We'll read from verse 13. Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Now the word fornication comes from another Greek word, porneia, and that basically means any kind of sexual misbehavior. The word fornication does not always mean premarital sin. It sometimes includes every kind of unclean sexual act. Let's go on, verse 14. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? That means they belong to Christ, and each single member is his property. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Oh, he says, God forbid. Now, why should he mention that? Because in the Corinthian society, it was just like our own society. It was permissive. And all the laws of God had been forgotten. And it was a free-for-all society. And unfortunately, that kind of society was now seeping into the church. You see, they had kicked out all the laws of God. In fact, probably they didn't even know them at this particular time in Corinth. And unfortunately, those principles now were coming into the Church of God. And therefore, Paul is now going to revise and revive true Christian morality. And some were slipping in to some of the brothels, and they were having affiliation with a harlot. And he says, shall I take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? You say, I don't understand what that means. Well, let me explain. If a person is a Christian, every single member of his body belongs to Christ. Now, if that person slipped into a brothel and committed sin with a harlot, the members of Christ are coming into contact with the body of sin. Think of that. No wonder he shouts, God forbid. Now he's going to develop this. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Now we must explain that in a moment. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication, run away from it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. Now, that needs a very careful explanation, and we shall try and do that in a few moments' time. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, the Lord will bless that first reading to us, and I think we should go now to expand it. When a person is saved, God gives him a once and for all forgiveness. So that if you were a fornicator, or an idolater, or an adulterer, or an effeminate person, and if you were a person that he speaks here that was abusing yourself with mankind, if you were a thief, or you were covetous, or you were a drunkard, or a reviler, or an extortioner, The moment you come to Christ, your sins are all forgiven, and that part of your life is finished once and for all. And God will never raise it up against you at all. And when you are cleansed and sanctified and baptized, you can be brought into full fellowship, irrespective what kind of life you have lived. But the moment you come into fellowship with God, you are put under a tremendous responsibility. So that when you were in darkness, God will forgive all that you did in darkness. Now you are in the light, you are responsible to live in the light. And therefore, Christians are exhorted not to taint their bodies, but to be aware that you will be tested, and then to realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, what does it mean to taint the body? Now, obviously, what he is talking about is moral sin. And therefore, what he is saying to some of these Corinthians, they had tainted their bodies, and when they had tainted their bodies were tainted forever. There are certain sins that we can commit, such as murder and immorality, that will go with us until our death. Now, God forgives, but the government of that sin will go on until the moment we die. That's why every single one of us should try to keep our bodies pure. Now, what he is saying is simply this, that when two people have union outside of marriage, official marriage, in the sight of God, they become one flesh. Now, this is a very important thing. In marriage, there is the official part, where a preacher will ask you to take your wife or your husband to be your lifelong partner. Now, that's good, that's splendid. But the real thing that makes two people one is not the official vow that we make, but it's the biological union. Now, it's that biological union that is totally unbreakable. And once two people have made that union, they are one flesh. And nothing in the world can break it. Ah, but you say, Brother Peter, it's being broken today. I know, it was being broken in Corinth. But my dear friends, as far as Christians are concerned, there is no such thing as divorce. No such thing. And therefore, when we go into marriage, and we say, until death do us part. And that's it. Now, if we have sex before marriage, we just spoil our marriage perpetually. And that's why scores of Christians are unhappy. They played about with themselves before they got married. Now, don't you do it. Keep that body of yours pure and clean. Don't let anyone tamper with your body until the moment comes for marriage. And when marriage comes, God will beautify that union over the years. Now, that is absolutely vital. Another thing I want to say is this, that 25% of all the people that go into mental homes are there because of some kind of sexual problem. And what I am advocating is biblical, and this biblical instruction will give you fine moral and mental health. Now you will find that as you get older. So the body tainted. Now the body tested. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Now, many people find this text difficult, and I admit there are problems in it. Now, I'm not going to share with you the problems, but I want to try and expound what is positive. Now, what he is saying, that when a person loses his temper, he doesn't sin against his body. What does he mean? When a person tells a lie, he doesn't sin against his body. But what does he mean? When a person gets jealous, he doesn't sin against his body. But when he commits fornication, he sins against his own body. Well, what does he mean? Well, every boy, every girl is born a virgin. And every boy and every girl is a virgin until they get to the age of about 7 or 8 or 9. Used to be much older, but not now. Then there comes a moment in your life when you begin to grow up and you begin to feel strong matrimonial desires, which are all in the growing process of life. Now, whatever happens, keep those desires absolutely pure. If there's anything on the television that would make your morals lax, switch it off. Switch it off. If you ever see some kind of literature that could give you a twist in the realm of sexual behavior, tear it up. Keep that mind and keep that body pure. Then there will come a time in your life when you will be thrown among a group of young people. Now, I do want to spell this out. And it will be the easiest thing in the world to commit flirtation. And flirtation is a stepping stone to fornication. Now, could I say this to spiritual leaders? If you are a leader among young people and you've got flirtive manifestations, whatever you do, give up leadership. Because you can do dreadful things. If you've got a gift for the ministry of God's word and you've got a weakness for the other sex, whatever you do, keep from them. Because when we fall morally, we can do damage to a local church that will take months to repair. Now, may I say this to Elder Brethren? Never allow a man to lead your young people that has flirtive manifestations. If you do, you'll be in serious trouble. Leaders among young people, especially teenagers, must be morally straight. Now, that is absolutely vital. Now, Paul says, flee fornication. There comes a time when you have to run away from it. Everyone will be tempted, but there comes a moment when we have to run away from it. Now, you say, Brother Brandon, why are you saying that so strongly? Well, we have seen such terrible damage done by leaders who are gifted, who work among young people, because their morality was twisted. Now, beloved, in this local church, keep out every form of flirtation, so that there is a group of young people who are morally straight. Now, that should be said to every group of young people all over the world, especially today. Now, let's go on. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. Now, what does that mean? The moment I practice flirtation, the moment I eventually fall into moral sin, I have lost my virginity. And you will never get it again. And the moment you have broken your virginity, you cease to be a virgin, and you have sinned against the sanctity of your body. And your body is no longer pure. Now, in an unconverted person, there is complete cleansing. But the moment you come into the light, and you sin like that, you are doubly responsible before God. That's why there is no such thing as divorce among Christians. And divorce invariably takes place among Christians when we have broken this principle before marriage. Then he goes on. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now, can you see? The body has been tainted. The body is going to be tested. So he says, right, flee, run away from fornication. Now he's going to show to us that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now, what is this temple? Now, we cannot understand this until we go back and have a little peep into Solomon's temple. Now, if you were an Israelite, you would look at that great temple and you would say, well, it must be magnificent to even to go into that court. Any religious Israelite would see the court of the temple afar off, and he would wonder what it was like to go inside, but he would be totally prohibited. Only the priest went inside the court of the temple. And then the priests that went inside the temple would serve within the temple, and then on the Day of Atonement they would see their father going in. And many of them must have said, what a privilege to go into the holiest of all. Many times they would go right up to the curtain, but they knew they must never peer in. And when the high priest went in on the Day of Atonement, it must have been a wonderful moment. But they were always glad to see their father come out. Now, says the apostle, your body is not like the court of the temple. Your body is the Holy of Holies. What a shock it must have given them. Some of these Christians were slipping out and they were practicing immorality on the quiet. Now, says the apostle, I want to give you a wonderful shock. Don't you understand that your body is the very inner temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, what did that mean? Their body was the very body that housed the Holy Spirit. The Shekinah glory was not above them, like the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. But the fire was within them. The cloud was within them. And therefore, every single part of their body was holy. Therefore, what he was basically saying was this: your eyes are inner temple eyes. Your ears are inner temple ears. Your lips are inner temple lips. Your heart is an inner temple heart. Your hands are inner temple hands. Your feet are inner temple feet. Every part of your body has become absolutely sacred. No wonder he said, flee fornication. What a dreadful thing for a holy body to tamper with something that's unclean. Can you see? Then he shows to us the possession of the body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. Now, what does that mean? He says, look, each part of your body now belongs to the Lord Jesus. Now, how does it belong to the Lord Jesus? Because he paid for you with his own precious blood. Now, I know this was familiar language in the Corinthian world, because they could actually pay 30 pieces of silver for a slave, and that was the most that you could pay for a slave. Now, says the apostle, listen, you're bought with a price. It's not 30 pieces of silver. You have been bought with precious blood. Whose blood? The very blood of your Creator. What a price. And then he says, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does it mean to be sealed with the Spirit? When a person at Ephesus sealed a thing, he would seal a consignment of wood. In other words, he would buy some wood, for that's where all the great wood or timber was sold, and he would put his seal upon it. And when that seal was placed upon it, it was his forever. Now, says the apostle, we've not only been bought with precious blood, we have been sealed. We belong to the Lord by the Holy Spirit. So a believer has been bought with blood and he has been sealed with the Spirit. Now, can you see the awfulness of flirtation? Can you see why he said to them, run away from fornication? You've been bought with the precious blood. You have been sealed with the Spirit. You see, the devil can't take you out of the hands of the Lord. But what he wants is to prevent you from being a useful instrument. And the way in which he can do this is to give you the wrong partner. When he gives you the wrong partner, he'll spoil you for life. And if you don't marry a godly girl, and if you don't marry a godly fellow, you can be a Christian and you can marry in the Lord, but it can be outside the Lord's will. And therefore, if you mess about with flirtation, you'll put yourself right out of the current of God's will. And you won't have the partner God wants you to have. But if you keep that body of yours pure and holy, clean, free from every form of flirtation, until the moment comes when God brings you into contact with his partner, then you'll have, if I may use some good old-fashioned language, a good one. And then you can move together in the will of God, and that marriage will increase and develop and flourish and beautify. Now, tell yourself now, this body is going to stay pure. And you Christian leaders, if you see flirtation taking place, nip it in the bud. Don't have it, because that will spoil a local church. Now you say, Brother Peter, why are you saying this to us? Well, I was trying to help a young man with intellectual difficulties. And I advised him to go to a certain group of people on a holiday. And I said, there I believe you'll meet some lovely Christians. And I think that will help you. You see, I wanted him to see functional Christianity. He went on this holiday and he came back and I saw him and I could see that his face was almost iron with rage. I said, how'd you get on? Get on. He said, that's me finished. I said, but why? 3 times, he says, I was asked for sex from Christian girls. They would go in a prayer meeting and pray and come out and practice flirtation. And this is what he said. I'm finished. Do you know,
It was a pity the Lord ever saved those three girls. A pity the Lord ever saved them. Now we must be clean and holy. And once God raises up a group of people that are holy, then he'll multiply holy people. But you can have a large group of young people and you can multiply carnality, flirtation and sin. And all beloved friends in the Lord, let me say this to you as a father. Don't multiply carnality and sin. Far better to close down the assembly than that. Multiply spirituality. And could I say this to you? If you're determined to go on sinning and remain a Christian, would you do this? Go out in the world and don't touch Christianity. Go out in the world and say, I'm finished. I'm just going to give myself to sin. But if you're going to be a Christian, come right in and say to the Lord, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. How wonderful. And then glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Say to yourself, I'm not my own, I've been bought with a price, I've been sealed with the Spirit. Each part of me is for the glory of God. I've only got a few seconds left before the Lord comes. And I want this body to be yielded up wholly to the Lord. Now, could I say this to the older ones? Every part of your body is for the Lord. And you're to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Now, everything you put on your body, is it for the glory of God? Everything that you put on your body, is it for the glory of God? You see, once you realize you're a temple of the Holy Ghost, it will revolutionize the whole of your thinking. And then glorify God in your spirit. That means, deep within you, glorify God even in the motive of things. Now, could I share something with you and then close? Beloved, I can see that year by year we're being conformed to the world. Now I can see it. Year by year, we're becoming a little more worldly than we were the previous year. And I can see it. Now let's pray that that conformity will stop and that God will raise up a group of people who are absolutely devoted to him. And with this I'll close. When we are totally devoted to him, then we shall see blessings. Now, you take, for instance, a man that's going to be a professional pianist. He's absolutely devoted to it. Take, for instance, a fellow that's a professional footballer in my own country. He's absolutely devoted to it. And isn't it lovely to see a group of people absolutely devoted to Christ? And may it be that verse will come to us as a revelation. Don't you know that your body is the inner temple of the Holy Ghost? May God make that real to each one of us. Let's pray. Father, we just pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that thou wilt make this little reading this morning a revelation to us. O God, we pray that in this local church thou wilt raise up a group of young people that shall follow the Lord fully, whose lives will be pure, holy, and lovely. We pray, Lord, from among them thou wilt raise up young couples that shall marry in the Lord and of the Lord. And we pray that thou wilt raise up couples that will be like Ananias, that will be like Aquila and Priscilla. Grant this, we pray, who will help others to know the Lord Jesus in a much more closer way. We pray for those who are older in years, that their lives might be an example to the young people. We often see, Lord, older ones in dress and habit that really do not emulate the statutes of a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. Lord, in this local church, raise up spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, that will be leaders among the people of God in every way. And then, Lord, oh, we pray this. Start, we pray, here in Brisbane, a movement of the Spirit in one local church that will really spread. We are tired, Lord, of all that which is superficial. We long to see the power of God manifested among thy people. And, oh God, we pray that thou wilt begin to do a deep work in the hearts of us, thy people. This we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.